You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Alrighty, good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Man, I'm excited. Believe it or not, that was live and unrehearsed. I have a couple of friends that I just met and a couple of that I already knew for a while, but that was Mr. Bobby Parks, or also Robert Parks. And Mr. Parks has been here for some while and local boy here and a musician, songwriter, and that was an original.
Yes, it was.
And have Alexandra Richardson. And
hi.
Good morning. And Alex is a student at UH, and she's a blues lady. And also, you can catch her at the open mic over there at UH. And then I have Frances Mahi. And thank you, Frances, for joining. And, folks, this is just a last minute, really a last minute.
20 minutes rehearsal.
20 minutes.
We just met, we met half an hour ago.
Yeah, but I met Bobby just by chance down in Waipahu. He's had his guitar, and I started up conversation with him and started listening to some of the music and his original songs, and I thought, man, I'd like to share that with my listeners, you know, and I'm always playing a little bluesy here, and it's Black History Month, and I just thought, come in and invite them, and so... Alex plays again at the open mic, and Bobby, we got contact info for him, and he's trying to put together these songs and put it on an album, and I did hear them say that they might get together and work together. But anyway, thank you, Bobby. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself there?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm from Waianae. We're out there in the peaceful side of the island.
Mm-hmm.
I lived there all my life. I was born way back. When this wasn't the United States,
right?
Yeah, but they made me a United States citizen, so mm-hmm. I'm just hanging with that.
Yeah, hanging. Yeah,
but I've been born here in the paradise. With, my mother is Hawaiian, my father is black
mm-hmm.
from Tennessee.
From Tennessee. Mr. Yeah. Parks from Tennessee.
Well, yes. Uh-huh. He met my mom.
And what's and your mom's maiden name?
It's Kaimi.
Kaimi?
Yeah, my mom's Kaimi.
All right.
From a big island, actually. Yeah.
Well, folks, but you hear this music that Robert plays. It's absolutely great. And
I would like to share one of my other songs later on.
Okay.
That I wrote. It's a local song. I put it. No Hawaiian name. I mean, just a Hawaiian name, Leilani.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's a local tune, and it comes from my side of the island, mm-hmm. which is Waianae, the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Leilani.
Well, I don't think my listeners our listeners out there would object to you just going ahead now if you want to.
Oh, you want to hear that?
Yeah, of course. It brought a little tears to my eyes, and we're going to be talking. I'm going to be talking about, as we go along, interspersing it, H1N1 virus and the media blues. So we're going to have a little bit of Carol Cox Show and some more music. So I just figured we'd start off a Sunday this way. All right, go ahead, Leilani.
You give your heart so sweetly. Your smiling eyes is just for me. And you dance in the moonlight. Your Hawaiian style is my love. Purple mountain, blue sea, fragrance, aloha, surround me. Flowers bloom everywhere. Leilani, your beauty above all. Leilani, Leilani, a mist of wisdom, fresh as morning dew. Leilani, Leilani, the sun has kissed you, brown, sweet, and true. Purple mountain, blue sea, fragrance, oh, blue sea.
All right.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Well, now, the story behind that is that you wanted to have a daughter, but you never had one. But if you had one, tell us that story.
Yeah, well, okay. As a young man, I always wanted to, when I get older, I wanted to have raise a young woman, a young baby into a woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just raise this young little baby girl into a woman. I wanted to have the experience raising her.
Mm-hmm.
I had, instead, powerful black Hawaiians, of course. My boys, they're powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I love them.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's one thought that was always with me. And I named her Leilani, my favorite lady's name in Hawaiian, Leilani. And I dreamt of, you know, teaching her little things and seeing her dancing hula.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I add them all into my song.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
All right. Now, I didn't introduce Francis Mahi. And Francis, if you would, give us a little background on yourself there. And
I'm an expatriate Canadian.
Okay.
This is the time of year to be here. Never more popular than now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on their favorite relative right now.
Now, but you guys aren't running from a war. See, the Americans,
Americans
ran from America to Canada.
They're running from snow.
You're running from.
I'm running from 5 o'clock's Greek Vicar off.
That's
what I'm running from. It's a It's great. It's great to sit inside with hot chocolate and look out the window. But man, when you gotta get up and scrape and shovel and do all that crap, no thanks.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's why I'm here.
Yeah, right here.
I have a daughter. She's getting married in July.
All right. And now you used to play some other big venues, or?
Yeah, back in the day, was in a couple of Sabbath tributes and Zeppelin tributes and country and a little bit of everything.
Everything.
Toured all around Canada. And
a lot of good musicians hail from Canada.
They do.
Right? I mean, what's up there? Is it in the water? Is it in the snow? Is it the?
It's yeah. I think maybe they're just trying to get out. You got to make it to get out.
just trying to see. Yeah,
but play the snow circuit.
Yeah, Brian Adams and all kinds of guys that come.
Neil Young.
Yeah, Neil Young. I mean, Rush. Rush, right?
There's a lot of names.
Triumph, lots.
Yeah.
A lot of comedians too.
But what's nice about Hawaii? You won't ever know what's here. The art and the artists that exist here and what they can do, you know. And unfortunately, we don't get to bring them up. And that's why I thought, hey, come on this show and we'll... anybody out there that got something that they want... Last week we had Randall on singing opera and going to have him back because, believe it or not, many of people have been asking and requesting him to come back. So,
security guard up and
that. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, that's the idea. I want to focus on the community, what's going on in the community, not what's coming from top from Hollywood and Bollywood and what have you. How about our woods, our neck of the woods, I should say. But anyway, I wanted to comment on them. And they're just the musicians here, and this is the Carol Cox Show, so I want to make that clear. They don't share my views, and nor does the station share my views. And, in fact, I caution anyone to share my views sometimes because my calls a brain explosion. But what I want to comment on was the city council passed a resolution, 11-34-CD1. Being that this is Black History Month, we already know the struggles of that African Americans faced and still facing, as well as lesbian and gay and transgender people and people with handicaps, and then national prejudices too. But the problem is, right here in our own neck of the woods, our local city council, find their way of trying to be righteous. So they passed this resolution urging broadcast personality Rush Limbaugh to apologize for offensive and derogatory remarks regarding the Chinese language and Chinese people. Now, let me tell you something. You know that this show tolerates no bigotry in any form or fashion. And I'll go to fight and give a fight for you, whoever's being abused or wronged. But in this instance, I think that I have to question the politicizing such an event or an action when Rush Limbaugh might be wrong. We haven't heard this city council write a resolution for the attacks on President Obama. But let's bring it even closer. If you really mean this city council, get busy doing potholes and other things and leave the social fixtures to us people that we know better. And if you really want to fix this, let's start with Frank DeLima. He makes more insulting remarks about the local Filipino population and the Chinese population. So it troubles me when I see smart people getting together and doing dumb things. And this is probably up there dumb as you can get. When we got bigger problems, you're walking, licking the hands of the mayor on the rail and what have you, and then you stop and you got time to, like a good little Fido or whatever it is. I don't know, don't mean to insult you. But we got bigger issues that you should be attending to. And then let Rush Limbaugh, and if there is means and ways that people can challenge and take legal action against this. So lay off the social police actions. I think you fail, and in fact, no one would listen to you. It wouldn't even stand up in court because your actions do not match your words. And there are many black people here suffering. You have discrimination in city government. They can't get jobs. You got gays that can't get housing. You got all kinds of things. You got the handicap. You got people that can't even get hot water in the state housing. And you got time to sit and write a rezo to attack Rush Limbaugh. Freedom of speech? Oh, that you would probably know what that means. Anyway, guys, if you want to give another song, let go. But anyway, I just had to get that off the chest. But anyway, if you want to call in, make a request or have a comment, 524-1080, and you'll be able to pick this up at carol@carolcox.com.
Flower lay, yellow, white, and purple strand, woven like those many days and countless ways you held your hand. Here we are, standing at an airport gate with all our wishes on a star, which missed so far, see we had to wait. Going like an ebb tide, flowing, or like a trade wind, blowing. Soon you could be far across our sea, flying. Yeah, soon you could be flying, and like a teardrop drying, and leaving just a memory. Misty eyes, looking many miles away, with no time left to analyze or apologize, no more to say. Stay a while and linger just a minute more, and let me see this winning style and that little smile you often wore. Going like an ebb tide, flowing, or like a trade wind, blowing. Soon you could be far across a sea, flying. Oh, honey, soon you could be flying like a teardrop drying and leaving just a memory. Yes, just you, girl. Just you. I love you.
All righty. Thank you again. That was a Peter Moon earlier, huh?
Yeah.
And what an awesome song, and you guys did good. I got a call here wanting to compliment you folks. Go ahead. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. That's a beautiful song.
Oh,
the song
so
is
much.
Sad on that song.
Mm-hmm.
But those sad days are going to be over soon, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
As Mr. Carlyle says, Mr. Peter Carlyle says, no more cash cows. So all you cash cows, watch out. And as Abercrombie says, come to Hawaii. You will be treated equally. So we are going to get that equal treatment, hopefully, in the future. And thank you, Mr. Cox, for all you do for us.
All righty.
Aloha.
Aloha. Thank
bye
you.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Yeah, well, that's an interesting comment because I will be talking about the equality and Mr. Abercrombie and the others. As I said earlier, if I were to title this show, it would be the H1 virus and the media blues. And believe it or not, I don't know what is in the air, in the water, or what, but it seems that we have two of the most arrogant people in main leadership in this town that I've ever witnessed. Carlisle, going to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, says if he's not being sued, he must be asleep. Well, first of all, you are not being sued. The people of the state of Hawaii and the city and county of Honolulu is being sued, and you were elected to represent us because you had the goods as a good lawyer, supposedly. But the arrogance that's displayed and our trash are piling up on the streets, and you're beating your chest. You're telling us that, just the arrogance that comes before your comments and your statements. And with Abercrombie, folks, what is happening here, you would be ashamed to be a part of the state if someone were to tell the truth about what is going on in this state with this administration, the Abercrombie administration. And I'm going to be jumping both from rock to rock here on the two of them because there's trouble brewing here with these two administrators. And that is, there was a case of H1N1 virus reported out at the, it wasn't reported, but a teacher, and I have a signed statement and a formal statement and have talked to others, interviewed, that a teacher at the Job Corps in Waimanalo contracted the H1N1 virus here recently. And she, in turn, contact a substitute teacher and tell that substitute teacher that she's been diagnosed with this, H1N1, and had been quarantined and had called and told a teacher and other administrators that she had this and to check on the kids, and she was worried. Well, the health department simply said they wouldn't talk about it. I wrote a number of questions asking back in February 15th. On behalf of the Carol Cox Show, I'm requesting your assistance in obtaining information relating to the recent quarantining of a female in her early 20s who tested positive for H1N1 flu virus. Now, mind you, this wasn't a violation of privacy. This was a situation where a young lady, a teacher, calls in and tells others that she had been diagnosed and was concerned and alarmed that others may be affected or infected and may have already been infected because she may have gotten it. But the state health department ignored me and then presented this statement. The Department of Health Disease Outbreak Control Division a section is unable to fulfill your request. Information regarding specific cases and diseases confidential and not available to the public. The Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, HIPAA, prohibits the department from releasing person-level information. Well, first of all, this teacher, and we know her name, and I'm for privacy, I won't do that, but she herself has been around telling all of the people, and rightfully so. She was respectful enough to let others know that if they had family members with compromised immune deficiencies or themselves. So the state gets in a cover-up. This is what Abercrombie is allowing to occur. And we saw this before in the Lingle administration. He comes in and does the same thing. And now some of you say, well, he may not know. Well, it's his job to know. He brought to this table experience and guidance. We'll hold a police chief accountable. If his officers fail to do their job, why not a governor? But anyway, we're going to talk more on this, and if you guys got another song you want to come on with.
Right.
What's the next one?
Let's figure it out right now.
let's
work on it right now.
I think you did a really good version of that Sam Cooke song earlier.
Oh, Lord.
Cupid?
Cupid. Okay. That's
oh.
Cupid.
Of course.
Oh, you
were
doing
Cupid, draw back your bow, then let your arrow flow straight to a lover's heart for me, yeah.
What's that?
We're live.
Let's cut these off.
Hold everything.
Yeah, we didn't practice that one, period, yeah.
It was the tuning, yeah.
Yeah, let's do something different then. Let's see. Okay.
I arrive like an echo, bouncing off mountain tops to the air. Oh no, see, I reached out my hand. Sugar, you truly understand. Hey, yeah, see, I go and I walk on rainbows, ooh, and I kiss a few stars. Ooh, ooh. Oh no, baby, see I walk on rainbows, and I kiss a few stars. Ooh, oh no, yeah. He said, let there be light, and the whole universe obey. Ah, my Lord, yeah, yeah, yeah. He breathed the breath of life into my nostrils, and here I am. Ah, yeah, I go see, I walk on rainbows. And I kiss a few stars. Ooh, oh, I walk on rainbows with you. And I kiss a few stars. Ooh, oh,
Alexander, and
yeah.
That was awesome. So, nothing like being live, and when I'm listening to music sometimes, I love to hear what's going on in the studio. You know, when you hear these albums, they let you hear just the uncut version, and it makes it better, and you feel like you're sitting right there, you know.
Live music is best.
Live music is best, and right here at KWAI 1080 AM. So, just whenever you, if you feel like blurting out another, I'm not going to complain, and I'm sure, But you know, just a chance of meeting you, Bobby, and I look and I think this brother's able to walk down the street with the guitar, and he so proudly tucks it, and it looked just an, a part of you, and I thought I got to go across the street and talk to him. And
yeah, man, thanks a lot.
But yeah, that's sometimes, as you can see, I get wound up here, and but that music will balance it off, and I'm sure it's a Sunday morning, and
I see you really appreciate this music, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, well, it does calm you down. There you go. I run to open arms. Imagine it's you. I ran 'cause the memories, the memories are true. I've read your mind on an old phone line, and you hide the love which holds the key. I'd open the book to your broken heart, and I read between the lines. That stormy night you hid your love, and oh, you unwind. A page is torn at the end. See, I wrote those lines. No more wandering, no, not even Denise. See, I wrote the endless part of you. Yeah, yes, I wrote the endless part of you. I've opened this heart door, looking like dreams will be high.
All right, Mr. Bobby Parks, Mr. Francis Mahi, and Miss Alexandra Richardson. I'm
Thanks.
Sorry. I'm sure your mom listening to this says, "Oh, good, finally got her married off." But anyway, Alex, you go and play at UH occasionally, or how often do you go there?
Well, they just started doing open mics again, and so I'm just going to start playing every time they hold one.
And you got Facebook, huh?
Yeah, I have a Facebook.
So how can you got some of your...
Oh, no, we have a YouTube channel. It's called AW Tunes, and our other one is the Bacon Channel. And actually, I'm in a band with Francis's son, Cass.
Mm-hmm.
We've been friends since high school. And so
Cass, I understand, has some parts in Hawaii Five-O. He's a local actor, right?
It's entire acting family. Francis was in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay.
It was kind of funny because Cass kept dragging us to all these auditions, and we kept getting parts in the shows, and he wasn't getting anything, and started to seem like if you wanted to get in a show, just go with Cass to an audition. But then he just started getting, okay, getting a bunch of shows. So
mm-hmm.
he's in Cougartown next month.
Oh, wow. Now, yeah. About this YouTube again?
It's called The Bacon Channel.
The Bacon. Now,
Bacon as in the delicious breakfast.
Yeah, the delicious. Now, first of all, folks, we're going to talk a little about food because Bobby and I were talking, and
it's breakfast time.
Well, you know, we were talking about
it comes from the pig swine flu.
Well, that's the
well. For myself, I try to be vegetarian, and just yesterday I was talking to, and this girl, you're as thin and, as they say, skinny as a rail, but bacon is her favorite food.
You can't deny the bacon.
You're right about that.
Well, now my phone's going to ring off the hook and go, vegetarian, and go, what?
Canadian bacon.
You can't deny
Canadian bacon.
But anyway, YouTube, again, is
the Bacon Channel.
The Bacon Channel.
Yeah.
And then they can catch on that. And
YouTube.com/TheBaconChannel.
Yeah, we're gonna post it up, a link to carolcox.com, CarolCox.com, and Bobby, speaking of food now, you were telling me that your aunt comes out here every year or so to cook for you. What's
yeah,
she
when
be
I was,
cooking?
When I was little, she flew out here, my auntie Terry.
Uh-huh.
She flew all the way out here to bake me a cake. Stay 2 days and leave.
Dang.
My Auntie Terry, right there. And that's the only sister I met from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
Just her.
Yes.
No one else.
So being African American and Hawaiian, I can hear the guitarist says a lot of soul there, and then Hawaiians have got soul, and then you're blending it. So
yeah, straight popolo sound now.
Uh huh.
Yeah, that's how I make my sounds. It's just like it's, you know. Brought up here, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't gonna lie about nothing. Can't lie.
Can't lie about that.
Can't lie about that.
See. As Prince would say, it's so obvious.
Yeah,
I'm black.
Can't lie good, just tell the truth, as I was saying the other day.
Yeah. On radio, we all can look any color, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
But I can't lie either.
Yeah, but it's growing up here, I guess, give you a greater perspective because the culture and blending and living here, just I wish, man, I'd take Hawaii over Mississippi any day. but Mississippi was beautiful and it was a good place, but I'd rather be here as Kay shows. I'm staying here until they run me out of town. But anyway, you want to get another song there? And
all right. You guys want to do one?
Sure.
Oh. What do you want to do?
You guys both do one, because I never heard of both of you.
You want to try and do some blues?
Trying is a good word. I like that word, try.
Try?
Are you trying to say something, maybe?
Try. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, yeah. I was referring to something.
Yeah, I've practiced this one for...
I
like,
only see two afros in here.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're from Arkansas originally.
I grew up in Summers in Arkansas.
Uh-huh. And so that's where you learned to taste the blues. And,
yeah,
and
that's where I started listening. And I gotta say, it influences the way I play, but I can't say I play like straight up blues all the time. So,
well, yeah, but that's okay.
But I think it's had such a huge effect on the entire music industry.
Okay.
The way everyone plays.
Yeah. Well, there would be no music.
No rock and roll.
Well, pick a song, and then if you would go ahead, and we'll sit and listen.
Just 12 bar.
Yeah, let's just do some 12 bar. I'm gonna show you. So cold in Canada. It's cold in D.C. too.
So glad I ain't there. Just call us a mainland blues. Left my snow shovel at the back door. Jumped on an airplane, landed down here.
Right.
Nice, that was nice.
Man, now that was Alex on the, yeah, she broke it. That's good, Alex.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, on occasion I do walking to stay fit and try not to, I want to get rid of this inner tube that I carry around my waist. So I bumped into Alex one day and I'm walking and start talking and Alex has a history of blues under her collar there, and who was Robert Johnson? Here's an example. Who's Robert Johnson?
Wasn't he the guy who sold his soul to the devil? The crossroads.
Down at the clock.
Down at the crossroads.
Down at the crossroads. Robert Johnson.
61 and 49.
Yep.
That's exactly where I'm from, on Highway 61.
Yeah, that's where you told me.
Yeah, the Delta.
The blues highway.
Right there at Highway 61 and 49.
Wow. You're from Clarksville.
Yeah, what? Cahoma County, Bolivar County. Yep, wow. Yep. So, yeah, that. But nothing like the blues. But nothing like music anyway. I love any music. But that's why someone said, "Oh, they've never played with one another." And I don't care. Music is an international language, and everybody can speak that. I don't care who you are. Given the right moment, the right need, and the purpose, music happens. Huh? But anyway. We're going to come down. There's a gentleman call, and we're going to end this show and then come back on the second half in a bit. But he called and he wanted to hear some Stevie Ray Vaughan or some B.B. King.
That'd be you, Alex.
I don't have CDs.
Yeah, we'll both put on the track.
I don't want to disappoint my listeners. I have to live with them. Come up with something.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, how I learned how to play the blues was there was a TV show of his concert live at Montreux. The second time he came around, the first time he got booed off stage. Mm-hmm. They didn't like him. The second time they came around, everyone just completely loved him. Mm-hmm. And they played, I remember I was in high school, and they played this show back to back to back. 24 hours for an entire month, and I came home and I watched that, and I stood in front of the TV with my guitar, like, mm-hmm. every single day. Mm-hmm. But I've never tried to pull off a Stevie Ray Vaughan song. All I've got is one that was kind of inspired by Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Well, let's do that then.
It's just a little tiny little thing. It doesn't even have any.
Well, I'm sure the listener.
If what key is it? That would be really helpful.
The listener.
Is it in this one?
Well, we're here to please.
It kind of just goes down and up. That's basically it.
All right.
I've been trying so hard to make this into a song for so long.
Well, that reminds me of when I was a kid, what they call the Chitlin' Circuit. I lived the Chitlin' Circuit because blacks were not allowed to go into the restaurants or stay in the hotels or lodging. It was only for whites only. And that's a reality. Now, someone out there is probably going to go, oh, we're talking about that again. Well, it's history, it's facts, and that's the way it is. I didn't do it. They did it to us. So,
right.
The point is that on many occasions, there'd be Lil Milton, Bobby Rush, and all the others, Muddy Waters, and all those guys that would come through there, through this town, and to Clarksdale, and Mound Bayou, and Rosedale, and Cleveland, and Leland, and Greenwood. And occasionally, I would get to see them play and practice because they would go to the juke joints. That's where, you know, that's where it played. It wasn't a fancy pipeline cafe or things like this. Was, you know, on occasion, I recall being there where there's a 55-gallon drum with kerosene and wood in the middle and a wood stove in the middle of the juke joint. And these dudes would be playing. So hearing you guys sit and discuss and talk about what bar, what notes are, it's a 12 and what have you, that reminds me, that's almost exactly the way it was.
Oh, I see.
As a child, that when I would go and find my way, or my father ran a couple of jug joints, and my cousins and uncles, and they were, you know, party people, right? So, but anyway, we're going to take a break here, and if you guys would just send us out here, I got about 2 minutes, and we're going to go to the news, and we'll come back with the second half, bringing Bobby Parks back and Alexandra Richardson.
Yeah.
And she's going to play something good of her personal songs, and Bobby's going to play some more, and Mahi is going to take up the slack. France.
Fill in the empty place.
Yeah. So this is going to be a perfect show today. But anyway, if you would, I'll just tune us out and go to the news. But this is the Carol Cox Show, and thanks for joining. This is a Carol Cox Show, and be back shortly. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on K108.
You're listening to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 AM K108.
Hi. Okay. We're back. Yeah. I'm going to play you
this
guys
is my
a
friend.
Song.
My back's on the other side.
I'm going to play you a song, and I think I was stuck on the song, and Francis helped me out a little bit, but so here goes.
Well, thank you. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, and we're sitting here with Bobby Parks, Alexandria Richardson, and Mr. Francis Mahi. This was not thrown together at the last minute, but this was by chance meeting, and I asked them to come in and play a little music in honor of Black History Month and talking about many other issues. But, you know, we have people like Muhammad Ali or Cassius Clay, some of you. And what I admired about Muhammad Ali was very, very, I was impressed when I was younger with him. And that is, you know, in my business, what I do today, I meet a lot of people. Take, for example, this H1N1. The people out there at the Job Corps are absolutely afraid to speak up and tell the truth, but they would contaminate and infect other people, an entire community. But when you ask some that know and have the facts, they're worried about losing their job. So what I like to do is say, I always look at Muhammad Ali. Whenever you're lost for wisdom and for guts or just being an honest person and caring about the next fellow, remember what he did. He went to jail because he refused to go. He declared himself as a conscientious objector. And he went to jail because, as he put it in paraphrasing, the Vietnamese people had done nothing to him. And why should he go and fight a war? Now, mind you, he could have been driving with a pink Cadillac, red Cadillac, and as the rap singers do today, and some bling-bling, and went over there and joined in and went and gave some talks to the soldiers. But Muhammad Ali declined and gave up the American dream and went to jail for peace and for the caring of another fellow or another man or another woman or another child, people that he had never met. So some of you out there, when you get to talking about, well, I'm afraid to lose my job, just remember, there are people that didn't just lose their job. They set it on and traded it off for righteousness and for what was right. So anyway, I talked briefly about the H1N1. And now the health department, we are in a bad fix unless Governor Abercrombie fixes this problem. He talked about transparency that he was going to bring to the government, and it's the people's government in that dialogue. So here's some of the problems with that chatter that he got out there now that he's in. Let's pull back the sheet and see what's really going on. Now, I contacted the health department and asked those basic questions, as I had mentioned, about the H1N1, and we know that it was factual. We don't have any reason to not believe, and I got a sworn statement, a statement from individuals and other statements from individuals that know firsthand what happened. Now, the media contacted the Job Corps management. They're contractors out there, and I contacted the Job Corps. What they told me was, we've satisfied the media. You're just speaking mistruths and misstatements about this. There's no H1N1. I contacted Job Corps in San Francisco. Well, we haven't heard anything about it because there's the protocol said you must report it. But the state health department refused to even respond to me. Janice Okubo, you've heard that name. Why did Abercrombie keep her on? Only God knows. But the problem is, this is the health of the people, the state of Hawaii, and also the health of the nation, because we have tourists here. And if we have H1N1 going unaddressed and not being dealt with properly, the children, the students go back out in the community in Waimanalo and elsewhere and get on the bus if they're infected. There's some big problems there. So when the media went, the supervisor at the Job Corps, after the media inquired and myself inquiring, they called a fire drill. Now, fire drills are for protecting people's lives and practicing. They called a fire drill. And the report is that in doing so, the manager told the people that, let me get this right, I want to make sure. This was the director. She explained it was a law that says you can't talk about your health or the health of others with anyone. And that because we were on federal property, it was law that would be enforced and taken very seriously. She talked about breaking laws and the consequences. And she also had Ferna Indica, someone, talk about the fact that there was lots of students sick, but it was probably just because of the VOG. She asked how many students were sick when over half of the students raised their hands. She said, and keep your hands up if you smoke. Then she laughed and said, see, that's why you're sick. Just drink lots of water and get to bed early tonight. She then told a quick story and said, you know, sometimes you go to the beach and somebody gets stung by a jellyfish, but not everybody does, right? That's like this. Not everybody's going to get sick. The mood was very somber, and I felt the announcement was intended to intimidate the students and staff. This is what the writer's writing. Then the students were released for lunch at that time. So this is what we have here, folks. We have the health department under Governor Neil Abercrombie not wanting to respond. In my request, I told them we already knew the person's name because the person was giving that information out themselves. We just wanted to know if had they confirmed other cases and what was the protocol and what were they doing to protect us all. I never got a response back from Janice Okubo other than telling me what I read earlier, that they can't discuss this and what have you. So this is what we have when we talk about a guy that comes back to town who's represented us in Congress, who should know better, that we don't play tricks with people's lives and the economy and what have you. And this is just one step, a misstep, I should say. And we need to address it. So we're filing with the Inspector General a complaint. And also, hopefully, the Waimanalo community will take this up. And the facts are there. The statements are there. The people have given a statement. And I think we're not going to let it go because the health of us all is important. And we just need our government serving us properly. But anyway, I'm going to talk some more about the media and the sequestration of, or the blocking of the need by the Abercrombie administration to rob us of our right to freedom of press and have transparency in government. And we'll talk about that, how we were excluded. The Carol Cox Show was excluded from even simply receiving a press release. We, to this date, we've asked for to be placed on a list that is sent out to everyone, a copy of any press releases, and the Abercrombie administration refuses to allow me or others, some of us, to receive or be placed on the list for press releases. And I know the argument will be, in his own way, well, you can get it off the Internet. Well, I don't want it off the Internet. I want it to be timely so that I can do my research and background work so that before I speak, I want to be factual. But anyway, I have in the studio here, as you've heard, if you're just joining in, Mr. Bobby Parks and Alexandria Richardson.
Yes.
And
hi.
Mahi.
Francis.
Francis Mahi. And they're going to go and play us another tune. And so whenever you guys are ready, and do your thing. And what's this one coming up now?
What do you it's just a nice little chord progression, a little jazzy.
Now, what's a chord progression? A progression?
Progression? A progression of chords.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because you see, you
one right after the other.
I can,
one right after the other.
I can listen to music, but I don't understand it. So.
Sometimes that's best.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
no,
good.
Yeah.
Who needs to know?
Some of the best songs, the best lyrics are ones that can be interpreted differently by different people.
Okay, you said it better than I could, so.
You guys, you're welcome to join in on this, of course.
Bobby. Yeah, I think this is it too.
Progression of chords, huh? Alrighty.
Progression of chords.
Yeah, so Bobby's going to play us something here shortly, and back on this subject that we were talking about. Let me give you an example of regarding this transparency. We already know, we're met with Mr. Abercrombie's efforts to conceal the list of judiciary appointees. Now, I don't know why anyone would do that when eventually we will all know anyway. So I'm struggling to find what logic maybe there is, and I'm just not bright enough to figure that one out. But Here's an email that I want to share with you. And these are going to be posted at carolcox.com. That's C-A-R-R-O-L-L. Aloha, I would like to request that the Carol Cox Show be placed on your media list. Please send all press releases to us at carol@carolcox.com. Would you believe to this date I have not received a single statement or press release? But they do send them out to other media, and that brings me, what is the other media? Mainstream media, as defined by the Abercrombie administration. Imagine the Carol Cox Show attempts to bring you the facts, the truth, and things that are of interest to you, and trying to educate. And imagine trying to get information from the governor who has an opinion or a statement or a view of something and he wishes to disseminate. But he chooses only through Donald and De La Cruz, his spokesperson, to release it to people only that they have approved to receive it. I don't believe that that is fair, that is constitutionally right or anything, but a congressman, now, former congressman, Neil Abercrombie, would allow this to occur within his administration. And we know quite often we heard that George Bush was evil. And the liberals say, oh, George Bush is the Patriot Act, and he's taking our rights, and he's listening to us, and he's holding information, and that guy Cheney is really doing bad things and won't let us. And then up pops the weasel. We have a liberal governor here holding off public information. Now, I requested that information and didn't get that, and they had the signing of the bill, the civil unions bill, and as you know, we've had many shows on that. The response I got from Donald and De La Cruz, this is a sister of the senator now, Donovan De La Cruz. Aloha, Carol. The mainstream media has been invited as space is limited. For these reasons, we're live streaming the event. I do hope you will log in and tell your viewers, readers, to do the same. Again, I wrote them saying this is to confirm that I will be attending the bill signing ceremony on behalf of the Carol Cox Show on Wednesday, and I kindly request that I be placed on the recipients list. Now, maybe some of you can call me up and tell me, what is the mainstream media? Does that mean that only they are willing to speak and say only the things that Abercrombie wants you to hear? Or it has to be said in a certain way? Or you have to show up, you can't have dark skin? What it opens itself up to all kinds of questions as to, is this discrimination? Is this against the constitutional rights of citizens? And how does the government set up and give a definition of mainstream media? So I write her back and ask her, what is the mainstream media when you say this? We have over 750,000 listeners, believe it or not, that go to the website and download. I write in various magazines. I do TV appearance. I have the radio show here and then the live listeners. And what constitutes a mainstream media? So I told her this, and she then writes me back and say, well, I didn't know you were interested in the civil unions matter. I personally, she didn't know that I was interested in it. Well, it's not based on what you know or think, Donald, and you weren't around. You were probably somewhere trying to beg for a job, because if you're going to behave this way, you're probably going to be begging for another one. And so I sent Donald a list now, where she say, I didn't know you were interested in this civil unions bill. And I sent her back a list of links of the various shows that I had done on the civil unions. And had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shows now. And you can go back and see them on carolcox.com archives. And I think we were quite vocal in that issue and did quite a bit of exposés on it. And to have her to arrive and by the way, she never even bothered to write me back, and there's an exchange of emails. But now this comes from a liberal governor, a governor who served this state in Washington as a congressman, and then return here, he keeps on the closed doors and in lock boxes the judiciary, And then he turns around and allows his press, whatever that is, a press secretary or spokesperson, to sit and discriminate as and define who she wished to have to deliver you the news. And then I could watch it on the stream and live stream, but here's the problem. I'm also a photojournalist, and so I would like to have photographs that I, too, could use and incorporate in the Carol Cox Show. But now, by having to go at it as she recommended, I'm compelled to go and have to buy any photos from others, because remember now, this is a business where photos and other materials are copyrighted. So this governor, this heavy-handed, whatever you want to call it, morphing of the George Bush, or as they claim, and he was one of those people, whenever you hear him talking, got amongst liberals and all, we got to be careful of this guy George Bush, this the Republican Party, they do this and this to us. And then he comes and do the same thing that he accused others of doing. And I'm not going to stand for it, and I will continually request it. And if not, I'll sit and hear it and talk until I turn. I'll wait. It'll take a long time to do that. But we need to hold Mr. Abercrombie accountable, because I don't believe, and if I'm wrong, you let me know. Throw a shoe at me. I don't believe that Governor Neil Abercrombie has a right to define what is mainstream media, and through his Donald and De La Cruz, who is about as impolite as you will ever meet anybody in government, she thinks we owe her something. And I'm trying to figure out what that something is right now. But right now, I think that Mr. Abercrombie needs to clear this up. And there is no definition of mainstream media unless he wants to say that we only communicate with people that will tell the story the way we want to tell it. We don't want the injection of truth or facts or anything of that nature. And that's not to implicate or indict other media. This is what this Abercrombie administration is doing. He is taking the Patriot Act. He can't wait to have it extended permanently, apparently, to do this behavior and commit himself to this and allow this person. Now, remember, this also started back when I was requesting a meeting and interview with Gary Gill. They never, ever responded to me on that one either. So I'm hoping that maybe some of you out there can help me justify why a liberal governor, guy who smiles at you, shake your hand until he's tired, agreeing with you, and we're going to set the Republicans straight because they're taking our rights away, and here he is. He won't even allow you to get an idea of what your rights are to determine if he's taking them away because he don't communicate with you. But we're going to file a complaint with this, and I might be seeking legal actions because I believe that this is not right. And to have Donald and De La Cruz to sit there and tell me that 750,000 listeners is not worthy of her pushing a button, adding my email address to a list, an electronic list, and costing the government nothing, and send it. And then denying me the right to sit and be part of a civil bills union. If they didn't have room, then they needed to hold it in a bigger venue. Then everybody would have had room. I could have gone with my telescopic lens. But this was just a slap in the face to freedom and the constitutional rights of all citizens. And we got to watch this Smiley, Gill, and Neil, because something isn't right. There's too much secrecy going on. And we're still waiting for the budget. Maybe he's holding that secret, too. But we'll talk more. And then I'm going to go back now to Bobby Parks, and he's going to give us a good song and kind of like deflate this pressure chamber here.
Songs that I don't really know all the words to it, but I'm gonna fake it.
Oh, my love, my darling. See, I know for your touch. And are you still mine? Oh, I need your love. Yes, your complete love. Oh, your true love. Bring it on to me. Hey, come to me. Yes, to me.
That's my favorite version now of that song.
Well, you know, well, music is what it is. It's good, and you know, the jingles, and when they're selling you something, you know, someone said, well, you didn't play the whole song. Well, when they're selling you something, they don't really play the whole song. They get that little hook.
Give you a taste.
Give you a little taste, and that's what I like about music. But how many times do you hear music, a song, and then you go around singing for the next week? You know,
every day of my entire
life. Isn't that amazing? And everybody, we go through phases. I don't care who you are. This week, there's a certain song you're singing to yourself, and you're moving and living to that beat. And the next week, something else will come along, you know.
Yeah, you pick up something here and there.
But hopefully they're good ones. Sometimes you just get a bad song.
Really bad. Like, Queer Eye for the Straight Guy theme song was stuck in my head yesterday, and it was bad.
Oh, that's why you have that look on your face.
Why did you say that?
But let's give an example.
Just don't hum it, all right? Don't go there.
I want to continue this exchange of emails. And again, they're going to be posted on carolcox.com from Donald and De La Cruz, and also on the H1N1 virus that was out there in Waimanalo. Mainstream media, this is Donald now in an email to me. Mainstream media is traditional media prior to the internet explosion of blogs and internet information programs. So in other words, according to her, everything is backdated and stays within before the internet. So you have been a source for many, if not all, of the mainstream media outlets due to your investigations in environmental disrepair and disrespect throughout Oahu. Again, for that, Oahu has been better served because you take the time to look into those matters. As a reporter, I interviewed you on more than one occasion because of that role you served. Do you now fall into this category where you are no longer a source of stories? If this is the case, my sincerest apologies. Your website indicates it is a radio program and a blog, not a news outlet. Thus, your email not only caught me off guard, but now I am at a loss for determining how you now serve the public. Please help me understand. Your website shows you as a talk show host, which would make sense to me as you've brought many issues, particularly land issues, to the forefront. I don't know what drugs she do, but this is when one, you taught a person to speak the English language but not know how to shape it to the specific conversation where you're being rational and logical. Something's wrong here, folks. She has, there's something, some adjustment between her ears she need done, because nobody in their right mind would try and diminish the character of any citizen. You have a right to call the government and ask, as a citizen, to heck with being media or whatever, you have a right to make a request on the UIPA, the Sunshine Act. What's going on? You don't have to be a media. You don't have to have a quote, press pass. But this is what this administration has brought to us now. A police state and policing of the words that they disseminate amongst us. They clean it and polish it up. Anything else now, they don't want you or me, because you and I might make the mistake of telling the truth. That's wrong. And anyway, you guys got another song you want to play or anything?
Yes, both go do the last song.
I've got something.
Well,
I got something. Is that the
name of it? Yeah.
Got something. Yeah, that's it.
Don't pronounce any consonants.
As I was talking about the juke joint, you know, when you remember the big old jukebox?
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of the times the guys would be shooting crap and over the crap table and buying a 25 cent shot of White Lightning and. And, you know, this is what, in Mississippi, as a child, you see. I mean, they're sitting there and shaking the dice. Come on, baby. Baby need new shoes. And, you know, but that's the history, of, you know, the Southern history. And they were
25 cents.
Yeah, I was about to say.
You're not a young man.
No, I'm not a young man. And, in fact, Bobby and I, we're 116 years old together. Lots of knowledge.
But do some math.
Yeah, well,
but
between the three of us, we're probably 200.
So, and this is what would happen. I'd sit and listen to guys come in and bring in a harmonica, and they just start jamming. And it was nothing formal about it. And, my God, when you sit there and you'd be toe-tapping. And that's what's nice about blues especially. And it helped a lot of people get through life and through the struggles and the angst of what was being projected on them, the discrimination and the hardship and what have you, and you had one evening to relax, and then the next evening you recovered by going to church, you know, and the next day you went back to the grinding, the chopping cotton, and doing whatever it was that the man wanted you to do.
Well, that's where the blues came from, was chopping cotton.
Oh,
it was,
yeah.
It was a call and response, yeah, you know, the overseer, you know, sing out, and they'd answer back.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
They start to use their guitars to answer.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it started.
And the harmonica. And and the blues in different languages, I look at Haiti. If you really look at the Haitian music, mm-hmm. and the soulful and the blue, I mean, it's simply amazing.
Yeah, the Haitis.
Yeah, and how it got people through. I wonder what we would have done if we didn't have the blues.
We'd have to invent it.
Let me rephrase that. You'd have to be in the studio and see why that was a dumb question.
It'd be like all clones of Pat Boone.
I'm sitting here asking the.
Oh my lord!
What'd you say? No. The clones of Pat Boone. What would we have done without blues?
So I'm singing about Davy Crockett.
Yeah.
That's all we have.
Yeah, that's right. Can you sing us a Davy Crockett song?
Oh, yeah. Killed him a bar when he was only three? My grandfather could, but I can't.
Anyway, go ahead and play.
You want me to? All right, okay. Well, I'll play, and then if you can join in, then I'll just go off on a tangent or something.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Well, that was... So, you put these together and you compose them yourself?
The last three songs I played are the ones I wrote, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. And then, Bobby, what do you got? You got another one you want to...
Yeah, I can put together something. I can fake it.
Yeah, well...
We'll just all just get on a big jam.
Yeah, let's do it.
Just pick a key.
Just pick a key. I pick E.
So pick E?
Yeah, pick the key.
I don't know. That's just one. I just yelled out a letter.
H! Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a second. Wait a second. There is no H.
Now, the kids listen to this show, too, so is there an H in music?
No, there's no. It only goes to G. There's only seven. And then well, there's actually more than seven, but the major ones are seven. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Right. And there's flats and sharps.
The black keys on the piano, for anybody paying attention.
Mm-hmm. So when did you guys take an interest in music?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, you shouldn't have any problem. You're still young.
Yeah, no, I'm still young.
Well, it was mostly...
it was 70 years ago.
Canadian winters stuck in the farm.
Oh, yeah, and then you pick up the guitar. Seven years ago you started?
Honestly, it was... I had a crush on Bono from U2.
Okay.
And I thought, if I learn how to play guitar and I get really good... then maybe I'll get to meet him one day. And then Pearl Jam came along and blew that all away, and so I just started learning to play music to play music.
Oh, but you didn't dump Bono for Pearl Jam.
I did. I was at the Pearl Jam U2 concert that was back in 2006, and I saw Pearl Jam open, and I was starstruck, and then U2 came out, and I was like, I don't care.
Oh, you fickle woman.
Yeah, and you, Francis.
I grew up in Canada, like I said, out in Midwestern Ontario, snowbelt farm country. So it was a lot of time sitting around listening to music, and it was pretty much the same. I thought, you know, if I bought a guitar and played music, I could, like, meet women. And that didn't work at all.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought, let's be in a band and, you know, meet girls, and no.
Who sang the song Guitar Man?
Guitar Man.
Man is one of the lyrics, I think, is Guitar Man is Neil Diamond, Neil Young.
Neil Young, I think,
did one. So you thought you would be the Guitar Man and walk through it, and that the guitar would serve as bait, huh?
Yeah, I was having a really good life, and then I bought a guitar. I have a wife.
How about you, Bobby? For kids listening out there.
I liked it, the song. Hearing the song, you know, I liked it. And I talked about saxophone because I can hear it from the sax.
Mm-hmm.
The lead guitar. But the sound was guitar. So I started off with a saxophone, and then I ended up with a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
When my girlfriend gave me a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose guitar over sax. Mm. So phone.
Yeah, this is a family show.
Saxophone.
but is it difficult if a kid out there is picking up a guitar? You just practice.
You have to become a little bit obsessed to get good.
Mm-hmm.
If you see somebody that plays guitar well, you can bet that there's hours spent sitting on the side of their bed.
They carried it around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hours. You can't get good. Well, at anything. It's just like life. You don't get good if you don't practice, if you don't work at it. It's the same.
So you sit at home and you practice, and you carry your harmonica, your guitar, your saxophone with you, your flute with you, here and there, everywhere. And one day you decide you're going to cross that threshold and try to play with an organized band or try to play. How is that? What kind of transition? And where do you muster up the guts to do it? How is it?
I think you practice like, I'm finally getting good. And then you go out there, you meet musicians, and then they're better than you, and it completely destroys everything you thought you were. And then you go back and you practice more, and you're like, okay, I'm getting good now. And then you go back and someone just completely destroyed you. But then you you find people and you learn that when you play music with another person, you create something just really special.
More than the sum of the parts.
More than the sum of the parts.
So you can't be timid and then have a fragile approach to this.
Playing with other people will improve your playing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But it takes that daring moment, huh, to step out and declare that you're going to take it out of the bedroom or the kitchen or in the park where you play.
It's a lot of it's just confidence. You have to have confidence in yourself, even if you're not good. You know, some people are not good and they have a lot of confidence.
It's easy when you're a teenager, full of confidence.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So if you were to come to town, I've known people where a musician comes to town, professional. They have a concert and they're frantically looking for a guitar player because theirs broke his leg or missed a plane.
Right.
You know, how does that work? I mean, B.B. King is coming to town here soon. And let's say someone, could any of you guys fall in there? Do you think you could rise to that occasion?
I've filled in a couple times for guitar players and just playing rhythm and stuff. It's mind-opening. You have to be on your toes and, you know, like I say, watch their hands. And having chord charts helps, too, but yeah, it's quite interesting. It's a heck of a way to try to make a living.
Oh yeah,
really? Yes.
So, Bobby, what? You go ahead.
I would say if B.B. King's on stage, I would just rather buy a ticket.
Watch.
I saw him back in D.C. He was very, very good.
Oh yeah.
He's B.B. King.
Well, he's B.B. King. I mean, like, it goes without saying. That's where Liz gone.
That's like saying Gandhi is a peaceful man.
Yeah.
But, music is a tapestry, the backdrop for everything. Imagine a movie, no music.
Boy.
Imagine a church, no music. Imagine a disco with no music.
Well, there wouldn't be a disco then, would
Well, it? Yeah, it could be. Hand jive.
But that's music.
But, that's what's so nice about music. And this is nothing big for you, but being able to bring and let the community hear what exists amongst us out there, people. And when things get good, hopefully see you guys out there singing and playing and beating away and doing it. But you got anything else?
You guys go ahead.
You want to join in?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
I got something.
For you.
Okay.
Yeah, the Canadian.
So you're going to lead this one. Francis, you're going to lead this one, huh?
Yeah. All right. I have to
give
me one of his strings.
I'm, like I said, I'm an expatriate Canadian.
Family might be Canadian, but I think they embrace the Aloha spirit more than any other family I know.
Alex is like my Hanai daughter.
Yeah.
She's been hanging around my house for...
Eating up all their food.
What food?
Yeah. She doesn't eat that much.
Yeah. Yeah, what would that... Right there.
I kind of wrote this one for Sunset and the kids. My daughter lived in Palolo, and you have a really nice view of the sunset out there. So that's that. So I think I call this one Palolo Sunset. Thank you.
That's just right. Beautiful.
Yeah, and that was again called what?
Pololo Sunset.
Wow, you wrote that for your daughter?
For my kids, yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow.
She just happened to be living out there at the time.
Mm-hmm. So, when we close here, if you would just, you got something you can jam us out of when we get ready to close out. But I do appreciate you guys joining in, and with all of this, you know, I had a caller and I asked him to send me an email. We'll discuss. He wanted to raise an issue about the accuracy that Muhammad Ali, and again, trying to listen to the music and pay attention to the board here. So call him. Make sure you send me that email. And if the suggestion is that I was inaccurate about Muhammad Ali being going to jail for whatever reason, but please feel free to call back. And next week, and send me that email, and just focus on the context and the specific points. I don't want to labor, you know, if he went to jail because of a conscientious objector, then let's understand the totality and not get. I don't sit and waste time on air to be fragmenting and debating issues when really the point is that he's giving up a lot to help and respect humanity and others. That's the point. Not we don't get tagged with what he went to jail for by interpretation. Anyway, but there are other people like Jackie Robinson who, quote, broke the barrier. And so the commentary that I would make is that if you're offended by black people saying that we have a Black History Month, then be conscious that don't project bad things on people, and they wouldn't, and treat them equally, then they wouldn't have to justify themselves or remind themselves that they were part of history too, and while doing so, remind you that they're part of history. You know, so as we go into the future, we need to protect everybody, respect everyone, and treat them all equal. Then we wouldn't have to have the Japanese Culture Center. We wouldn't have to have the Chinese Culture Center. All those things come from an old history that things are being done properly or improperly, I should say, and projecting bigotry, racism, hatred, and all. And so this is what we leave our children. So wouldn't it be nice to leave this earth with where everybody gets along? And I know someone's going to say, he's smoking some good marijuana there. You know, it'll never be perfect, but we can work at it. I would love to never have to get on air and say, remember, black people, they contributed to the building of America and the well-being of the earth, too, and peace and what have you. But it, for some reason, that's unfortunate, and one shouldn't have to justify themselves amongst other human beings. But anyway, I enjoyed having you guys, and I don't know if you can take this whole thing out in 5 minutes, but next week we're going to have a very special guest coming in and talking about abuse and family abuse, and I had originally said 1 hour, and I'm going to invite him for 2 hours. There's a convention here or a big meeting, and so I will have him on next week. He's an international personality that is familiar with this subject, and I hope to have him here, and he's testified in court on various issues of spousal abuse and on and on and on. So we will talk to him next week, and hope you join us. So I enjoyed having the folks here with me, and it was absolutely, guys, you're going to one day play somewhere? Or when is your next open mic?
I think we're going to try and play tonight on King, but basically it's whenever UH is putting it on, and then we're just going to start playing at all the other ones around town. So
I like cool.
and that's, where is that open mic at, if other would be interested? Where is it?
Well, when we play, it's usually at Hemingway Hall. Mm-hmm. And that's basically where the Bali is. There's a courtyard and a stage, and we just play there. Mm-hmm. And then On King is on King Street in Chinatown.
Yeah.
Hands on King.
So if anybody out there want to contact Bobby or want to looking for that kind of music or want to join in with him or what have you, collaborate, Bobby, how can they contact you?
Well, let them contact you.
Okay.
You contact me.
Oh, Sounds like we have a...
We got an agent
incognito.
Now.
Incognito.
Yeah, but I enjoy this, just keeping it natural. I don't want to be pretentious, and I'm not a promoter of anything. It's just that to see a man walking down the street with a guitar, that's enough for me. So anyway, if you guys... And then we'll just fade out because we'll be going off air. And I'll see you next week. And thank you for joining the Carol Cox Show.
Wait, let me follow you.
Oh, it's your turn.
We on the leeward side of the island, where the mountains high and so free, home again, it's me. Walking hand in hand to the sunset, here at the ocean side where the breeze blows to your head. Woman, it's nice to be back home. Oh, my, oh, my, they've grown so quickly. He's a fine young man, and her hair is long and silky. She has a smile, oh my, it's crispy. She is nice, be back home. Yes, it's nice back home. Well, it's nice to be back home.
All righty, thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening, and tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show.